The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, Media Partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.
Vishal Shah, the fabulous, who, I'm going to start that again because that was just nonsense. What should I just go? Do you know what? Just kind of that's 2 days, of course, and trying to do the whole, hey, and then all of some nonsense.
He said fabulous, he said, oh, it's the wrong guy, it's the wrong guy.
Just looking at Vishal's fabulous, obviously.
Keep fabulous, that's good.
Right, we all know Vishal from online doing fabulous preps is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, and you've got a new course coming up about that as well, Vishal?
At some point, yeah, we're just working on that at the moment. So yeah, just watch this space. It's supposed to encompass everything surrounding everyday dentistry. But you know, it's still, I don't want it to be like everything else that's out there. There's got to be different elements.
Yeah.
Something new for people to actually, you know, learn and take away. Because there's loads of courses out there, some very, very good ones, you know, and to be honest, I've been on so many now that I've always gone away having picked up something up.
Yeah, you know? That's good. Mm-hmm.
And some of them, I go back a second time, like,
yeah.
You're one today. Yeah. You know, so, yeah.
Very honored, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great. I learned, you know, you learn something new every single time.
But you know what, it's nice even for us doing, you know, when we're lecturing as well, and we work with someone like yourself on the course, and the today, for anybody who didn't know, you know, Vishal's been integrated with the course, doing his lecture on his prep, and I'd like to hopefully say that you saw better preps from me today than the last time. But I'm not going to go into that because he says no, it was terrible. But no, do you know what? Last time, in all seriousness, we talked about it last time, and part of, you know, the beauty of doing a course and interacting with dentists that I love is learning from them as well as from you from different things. You pick up little things and, you know, polishing the edges and stuff like that does make a difference. So, yeah, but, you know, I'm looking forward to your course when I come myself anyway. So
it's all about doing the best dentistry we can, really, at every level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty with learning, and you've got a fantastic learning setup as well at your place, haven't you?
Yeah, it's it was set up quite a long time ago, but haven't done very much with it. But you know, it's got to be right. If you're going to do something, do it right. Don't do it for the sake of doing it. You know, and that's really, really important to me. And it's like treating patients, isn't it? If you can't, you know, if you haven't got all the knowledge on the material to do what you say that you're going to do, then I don't think you should start it in the first place. Which is why, you know, I've been doing digital dentistry for 15 years, 16 years now.
Nice.
But same day smile makeovers, no.
Yeah.
I just never felt ready for it. And, you know, thanks to the course today, I think it's about time.
Yeah. It's all about the workflow. That's what we were saying upstairs. It's just, you know, practicing the workflow and you get better and faster, and it becomes second nature, like you're saying.
But I think you make a good point there. You know, I think the important thing is, you don't just want to jump into something. You've got to be 100% confident that you're going to take that step and carry it out effectively because of your responsibility to the patient and your responsibility to the treatment that you have with them. You know, so I fully appreciate what you're saying. And I think one of the good things about doing courses is that everybody's experience is different and everyone's got something to share with you that you didn't know, you know. And I love that, you know. This is one thing I do like about courses. You know, you go on a course, even if you go away learning one fact you didn't know, it's worth being there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
To be honest, I mean, and it's not because we're sat together, I love this setup.
Yeah.
Because there's four of you and you all bring, you know, you have the same basic knowledge, the foundations are the same,
yeah,
but you each bring something different into it to actually make it work really well.
Yeah.
I mean, the way Quintus finishes off stuff is just
magical,
exquisite. It really is. You know, I'm not just saying that. I genuinely mean that.
Thank you.
up until the time that Adam sent me a couple of your cases on Facebook when I did a post, and I was just like, I didn't think that was possible with Sarah.
You know, the thing is that, you know,
the big misconception out there, and I don't know why, is because a lot of people think that, you know, digital dentistry is not aesthetic. It is very aesthetic,
yeah,
but you have to make it aesthetic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Coming back to what you were saying, where, you know, if you, especially if you don't feel confident in doing something, you know, I like it if people are more cautious. My philosophy, I've got two big philosophies. One is, if in doubt, the answer is no. So if you've got doubt about something, don't do it. Mm. Secondly, do it once and do it properly.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, you don't, especially when it comes to your cases and things like that, you know, you're going to get flack from all kinds of regions because people love to criticize, and especially on social media, people do criticize because it's easy to stand behind a computer screen and criticize somebody else's work. Doesn't mean you can do it. It's just, you know, you have these people that just love criticizing. But if you know that you've firstly given the patient a great result, secondly, you've done you know, everything right for that patient, that thing is going to last for a very long time. If they look after it, it's hardly ever going to be a problem. Mm. But that's why I like, what I really like about the same day smile designs is you can deliver that top level aesthetics and you can deliver it in one day. You don't have to compromise at all. Mm. And that's what I really like about it. And I think that's one of the things that when we started getting together and working on, especially this workflow we're teaching now, is to be able to deliver that smile design in a predictive way so that you can not only deliver the smile, but also focus on getting that aesthetic result for that patient, mm. right? Because you know the workflow, you know it's going to work, it's been planned properly. You can focus your energy on getting the aesthetics right. And where we work together, and on a lot of cases, we split the whole day up.
Mm.
So we've got one guy doing the preps, we've got one guy doing the design, we've got one guy doing the finishing, we've got one guy doing the cementation. Patients love that. Mm. And you don't feel drained.
It's like the emotion side of things. I love that lunch. I really, really love that lunch. Because it always makes me, it makes me think about nice times with patients,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And as well, nice times about when I've been speaking about it, you know what I mean? And, you know, like when we've been away in places, and, you know, different parts. But emotion's a big, big part of dentistry. Massively underrated.
You've got to enjoy what you do. If you're not having fun, you're not getting the best results, and the patients would pick that up as well. So they've got to see that you're happy doing what you do every day.
It's that passion.
Yeah.
You know, the passion that shines through. Like Vish, when he's talking about his preps, you can see that there's passion there.
Definitely.
And that's what I like. I like people
with
passion.
It's more than just preps.
Yeah.
It's more than just everyday dentistry. It's making everyday dentistry consistently good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few things that I've actually thought about in terms of improving and things like that. But one of the things is, actually, if you can standardize things, then it's much more easier to replicate it.
Yeah.
Have stages, follow them, you know, and work through it. And it works really, really well. Mm. It's getting to that point. And majority of the time, I think, personally, is understanding how to standardize a procedure.
Yeah.
If you're winging it all the time, then it becomes that much more difficult, doesn't it, to actually...
Yeah, definitely.
So, for me, I think... It's a great way to actually show things. And honestly, you know, university, I wasn't a high flyer. I wasn't the guy who aced everything or did all the most beautiful work and stuff like that. But I found inspiration in my colleagues.
Mm.
You know, I mean, what you guys know about digital dentistry, I haven't spoken to anyone, despite having done CEREC for such a long time, I haven't spoken to anyone who knows as much as you guys.
Oh,
you know, you see Chris roaming around on every single PC. I'm just thinking, well, what's going on when you do this?
This is a world when it comes to IT.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm a bit of an old boy as well, you know, also from 2003, 2004 with CEREC. So, you know, I know the journey, and it's about utilizing the technologies to make things better, isn't it? But
they're just tools.
Yeah, they are. They're just tools.
That's what I mean.
But it's using those tools effectively, isn't it?
Yeah, we've heard to CEREC. But really, it's a milling machine. It could be any brand,
yeah.
I mean, we favour the CEREC brand, obviously, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't other brands out there, for those of you that like to listen to things like a radio station,
yeah.
Or QVC. But the reality is, I'll leave you with Patrick over here.
But what I was going to say was that, you know, they're not replacing people or technicians or anything like that. It's just tools to make dentistry more enjoyable, more predictable, yeah. And hopefully better for patients.
Absolutely.
The thing is, I mean, there isn't a replacement. I mean, the digital side of dentistry is hugely, you know, a technician market as well. You know, I mean, most of the copings at least are milled. You know, frameworks are milled. So much milling is going on.
Definitely.
So there's just one aspect of it that's been brought in house.
Yeah.
But again, as I said, you know, you've got to be passionate about it. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're never going to be good at it, and you're never going to be committed to getting better.
Yeah.
And this is why I came up with the whole concept of everyday dentistry, because this is the sort of stuff I do every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love reflecting. I take loads of photos. Okay, they're not as good as Quincy's and yours, Patrick's especially. Bloody hell, you know, the photos that you guys take are just beautiful.
Honestly, all of these things through just practice and, you know, the stuff that I know I was doing going back 5-6 years ago that I was proud of back then aren't what I'm doing now. And the stuff that I'm hopefully going to be doing in 5 years are going to be, again, stuff that I'll look back at what I'm doing now. And there'll be people out there that, you know, will look at different levels and look up to them, look down on them, whatever. But the appreciation I think everybody should have is that Facebook is, you know, it's really kind of like a veiled reality, and, you know, the real side of dentistry is just passion and people
absolutely
appreciating that, you know, it is a learning curve no matter where you are on that curve.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's like you say, the important thing is reflection, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, if you don't stop to think, what can I do better, you're never going to improve. You're just going to get into a routine where you're kicking out the same thing, even if it's predictable. But you're never going to have that passion to do something better and say, how can I improve on what I've done before? So reflection is like the most important thing on every single case, and documenting it is probably the best way to reflect on it.
I mean, this is what it was, why I said in the lecture, isn't it, where I got all everyone to point at me.
That was a very good point, actually.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is that, you know, what I've actually seen, especially with our younger colleagues, is that this seems not to be a lack of, because they just haven't had the time, but you need to persevere.
Mm.
You need to make the mistakes, and sometimes, you know,
is the fear of mistakes because of, yeah, all of
the, I don't think so much a fear of mistakes, it's just about how to get, it's more sort of solution driven dentistry rather than a sort of understanding, conceptual, you know, knowledge, experience and all of these things. And sometimes people get scared of it and they just think, oh, this went horribly wrong, I'm never doing that again. And they tend to sort of, you know, move away from it. I've done every type of dentistry there is, you know, some very, very good, some very not so very good, you know, others I just don't enjoy, you know, endodontics don't enjoy, but I've got great endo cases that are still ongoing, you know,
yeah,
17 years later.
Yeah. I really love that.
But, you know, it's just one of those things, you know. And I mean, I work with Raj a lot, you know, and I give him a lot of cases as well. And
Raj is eager, isn't he? I like Raj.
He's, do you know what, he is
eager to learn and get better as well.
He's not only that, but we started working together. He joined the practice, I think it was a year post VT,
yeah,
or foundation training. And he's genuinely one person I'm really, really proud of, because he's actually taken on board the first conversation we had, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just moved leaps and bounds forward.
Yeah.
And we've got a great relationship out of it as well. There's a lot of mutual respect, you know, in terms of being professionals and colleagues and stuff. But even on a sort of one-to-one basis, it's not only work-related and stuff. And,
yeah,
and again, that's really, really important to have.
Do you think digital lends itself to that sort of relationship with principals and associates as well?
In what way?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, from when you saying that then, it's not the first time I've heard a principal say that, and I know the four of us have a close relationship with our associates, then, you know, I could name them. I could name all of your associates.
Yeah.
And they work with you, like, you know, like me with Hudson and Jack, that they, you know, Sandy, you know, she's joined recently, but Hudson and Jack, you know, they were newly qualified to join, and, you know, it's working hand in hand with them, and I hardly even do that anymore because they've become so confident. It's been a pleasure, you know. And I know you guys have got similar things.
Do you know what? I think the thing with digital is that it's such a good communication tool, and it speaks a lot. So if you have a case that you're discussing, like you're saying with Raj or me with my associates as well, the information's there. There's not so much that needs to be said, and it's very easy to take a step further than what you would have taken if you didn't have that in front of you. You know, you'd be thinking, okay, let's have this full conversation first. What about this model? What about that? What about that? But because it's all there, it's so much more interactive and so much more information. It's about information, isn't it?
I think
it's communication and information.
Like the mentoring bit as well, because even if they don't actually show us the case where the patient is there, they deal with their own patient. They can still come and have a look. What do you think? Would you have done something differently? Could you have done this in a faster workflow or something? You know, and that works really well. And I've just taken on a new associate now, and us being able to provide mentoring, you know, was a big part of what we could offer really as a practice, and I think it's going to be the future, I think, for a lot of digital situations.
It's almost like an evolution of VT, isn't it?
It is to a certain extent. This is where the everyday dentistry concept came up, because it's not going to be just like, oh, advertise it and, you know, get in as many delegates as possible.
Yeah.
What I actually want to do is I want to actually pick and choose the people who are going to come on that course. Mm. And it'll be a year-long thing where I'll follow them and sort of guide them and help them. And hopefully, well, probably we'll also learn from them.
Very good.
Throughout the course of an entire year.
That'd be nice.
And maybe even further forward from that.
Are we basically saying right here and now that we're going to have a PG cert in everyday dentistry? Level 7 certificate.
If it does, it's great. But I'm a little bit, I suppose I feel a bit conscious about sort of, it's almost like a lot of the times I feel like it's almost an imposter syndrome, if you like.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had that doubt then. Michelle, don't need to feel like an imposter doing that, but you're very good.
Well, the thing is that, you know, as far as the academic side of things is concerned, you know, I don't think that's my strongest part. And I've been working recently. I sat the MAGDS exam, you know, didn't put as much work as I should have, you know, but I'm going to redo it, because actually it set me up for a level where I thought to myself, actually, I've got to have a certain level of knowledge, you know, to be able to move further forward, because that'll just only strengthen and reinforce the understanding and the foundations of what I do every day. But at the same time, I've always been a doer. I'm not really a reader, if you like, you know. So I'll go away, I'll do it a few times, and constantly do it until I do get it right. So PG cert, I think it just sounds a bit too educational for me in terms of, you know, I want it to be fun, and I want it to be, you know, yes, of course it's serious, but I want people to come in knowing they're going to take away something rather than just a piece of paper that says, look, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other, and show it to someone else. I want people to be happy doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't have letters associated with it, in my opinion.
That's nice.
If it does, hey, great.
I agree with you.
It's fun learning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Developing yourself, upping your skill set, and doing something.
I think that's the bottom line.
And I think that sort of dentistry as well is really needed now as well.
Definitely.
No offence to universities, but, you know, I mean, the simple things like, you know, kind of going off subject here, but like, well, I was one of the final years that were at uni back in, you know, early part of the millennium, doing, you know, making dentures from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why that stopped, because to me, it doesn't make sense to take that out, because you don't understand the things that could go wrong with it.
Yeah.
And that's just everyday dentistry.
Yeah.
You know?
They need to do it.
You need to understand where things rub and why they would rub and that sort of thing. So,
But just now, I think, you know, one of the nice things you did show there, it wasn't just, it's not a how, okay? It's a why. So in other words, it's not how you prep it, it's why are we prepping like this?
Mm.
You know, and that's what people really need to take away. And I think what you're saying about the course, I think that's going to be very successful. And I'm sure that, you know, people will get what they need to equip themselves to become better dentists. It's not just a tool, it's also a skill set that they have to develop.
And I
like the way you presented that, and it was really nice. You know, I think it's exactly about that. It's why do we do this? It's not just like, this is how you do it. Because you can look at that in the manual, you can look at it on a video, but you need to understand everything behind it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, we were talking about it earlier, isn't it? It's about the planning.
Yeah.
And it's about understanding the planning so that you can figure out what you need to do to get the results for the patient. You know, work from the end result backwards and figure out how you need to do it, but plan everything so that if something does crop up that you haven't expected, you know what to do in that situation. But it's having that whole, you know, planning all the time. Once you've done it 20, 30 times, you don't think about it anymore, but you actually have done it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And that's where, yes, you know, you might not want to do, you know, the academic route, and, you know, that's not that important. It's the experience. Now, people need to learn from people with experience.
Yeah.
You know, one of my associates, he's basically at retirement age now, and he keeps on going because he just loves it. But he always keeps on saying, you know, there should be an opportunity for guys that are going nearly at retirement age, you know, going back to universities and teaching the younger dentists
the
things that they've learned over 20, 30 years of being in practice, you know, is that experience that is lacking in a lot of teaching that then makes, you know, new dentists coming out very sort of hesitant to do things because they don't know what's going to happen if this happens or if that happens, you know. So it's a big, big part of it is experience, isn't it?
It is, definitely. But the thing is that, you know, the system of education is very, very stringent.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to teach on Friday afternoons at the university, and I couldn't do it because I had set parameters, and I was like, well, this doesn't actually work. Yeah, but we've got to keep it consistent throughout.
Yeah.
So I can see the difficulty on, you know, on the teaching side of things, you know, because what you're trying to do and what, I mean, to be honest, it's you know, all the universities are trying to standardize the level of dentistry that's actually coming out every year in newly qualified dentists. So it's an interesting one. It's a difficult one, and you know.
I don't remember the people who are trying to stack it all up and, you know, you know, side of the future of dentistry, especially with COVID.
Well, they've had a tough year now, haven't they? You know,
yeah.
A lot of them haven't seen
any. I feel for them.
Especially the ones that graduated now, they're going to have a steep learning curve, but I'm sure they'll get through it. But, you know, it's a very old year, isn't it?
So, Vishy, you've got quite a lot of experience as a dentist and obviously a lot of knowledge to share with people. I mean, in your opinion, how do you think dentistry will evolve in the next couple of years?
I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis on digital. And funny actually you say that, because when Adam asked me, obviously with your agreement, the agreement of all of you to actually take part in actually the teaching side of it today, I was actually really nervous.
Why?
It's really weird because, you know, when I came on the course last time, I actually thought to myself, right, okay, fine, let's go and see what this is about. And, you know, I sort of, my whole idea was like, I just want to do my anterior cervix better. But when I actually came in and I sat there and I was listening to you guys and I was watching how you guys did everything, it just blew my mind. I went home, you know, on the Saturday, on the end of the second day, and my head was just...
Remember the next day, you're like, Adam, I think I need to go to the course again.
I really was, because I just didn't appreciate how much. And I suppose I fell into the trap of what a lot of the new graduates fall into is that, you know, you just do this and it happens, you know, and then you start getting the
That's the hard bit, isn't it?
And it is
that's harder. People don't realise that things that make things easy sometimes actually make things more difficult.
It's a lot more difficult when you're used to everything working and all of a sudden it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know, and that's something that puts more stress on us in our jobs when it's already stressful in itself. So I think, you know, back to your point, Chris, I think definitely it is definitely going to go digital, you know, and it's great to see what you guys are doing and how much effort you're putting into it all. Are the universities going to take it all on? I don't know. I have heard off the grapevine that some universities are already investing in scanners and all the rest of it. But who knows what the future holds?
Yeah.
Who knows where it's going to go?
Who knows where anything's going to go?
It does make sense for universities, though, and it does make sense for manufacturers to actually approach the universities, even if they might feel that, oh, it's going to be a while before they can buy our products. But, you know, even in the 90s when I graduated, you know, we had Cervix 1 for students, mm. you know, and you had to cut the
Obuso. You went to the greatest university in the world, though, Patrick, didn't you?
The number one
dental university in the whole world.
Yeah, Karolinska has it. They hold their back. But,
how do we know this?
He keeps on telling us. The first just went to the second best university.
Oh, really? Is it the one with the second best?
Do
you know what? I don't know if you've ever watched Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hate to say it, but if you're not first, you're last.
Exactly.
So, there's no point carrying on.
What is the Rock? Is it the Rock where Sean Connery says that, you know, losers moan about, you know, all kinds of things, but the winners go back home with the prom queen.
Exactly. Look how happy is that it's the number one university as well.
It's a double smile. She's
smiling.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up because it's been a good one. But yeah. Let's finish up with.
Tell me about this first, though.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, ask us a question.
I don't know. You just came and handed this to me. I thought.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We always say, okay.
Perfect.
Probably gets taken the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Because it means different things in different cultures, doesn't it? You know, so.
Some people do it upside down, and that doesn't go down well.
No.
But, we always mean okay because we're okay. But the that was actually a gift from my staff. And so I thought I could come on tour with us when we're doing podcasts. And they bought it. It was just part of like random Christmas present thing. And they said, come put it, take it to London.
I like
so
it.
So now it sits there or gets clutched closely and cradled when we're doing a podcast with the guests.
Yeah, fantastic. Where do you guys see yourselves in the next few years? What's the plan?
Well, we've got a couple of interesting things that are going to come out over the next couple of months.
Yeah. The education will still be the main focus of what we do. Mm-hmm. I think that... you know, one of the problems that we experienced as digital users was the lack of support, and we really felt, you know, after we had shared some time together and spoken about what we're doing, that we had a responsibility also to our peers and everything to try and not have them in the same position, because the problem is, you know, when you first invest in digital, it's quite an expensive investment.
Absolutely.
And you really want to get the most out of it. You know, you don't want to just be saying there's a piece of equipment and then it's your problem to find the education. So, you know, we feel there's a responsibility to the profession so that we can elevate the profession completely, you know, as a whole.
And plus advice, you know, provides, well, I mean,
yeah.
Hopefully it's obvious to you from being in for 4 days with us now, that, you know, the whole reason why we do this is because we love doing it. And it isn't about anything else. For all the, you know, the jazz hands sometimes, which I'm particularly guilty of, but the reality is that, you know, we do this because we love it, and you know, telling our students that make it really good.
I think it is really good, and you know, you're absolutely right, Chris, about the support.
Yeah.
That's something that is lacking hugely.
Yeah.
Possibly because, I mean, I don't think, unfortunately, the reps understand.
No, that's
the technology.
The best, I'll tell you, the best reps. Who's here today? I tell you, who's got it down with reps? I mean, seriously, I don't know any other company that does as well with it. The maker of the best loops that I'd like to say are Brian Leach, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are other loop manufacturers on the market available to anybody who likes to listen to radio shows. But the, you know, Brian Loops, the reason why I was going to say is his reps are all either dental students or new qualified dentists, and they get it. They get the whole thing.
Yeah.
They go on courses and stuff and they get it. And it's marketing genius, absolute genius.
I actually, I know Connor personally.
Yeah.
And we've become quite good mates. And I'm not going to say this because there's bias towards it, but he's genuinely a good guy. One thing that I love about Brian is it doesn't matter what problem you have.
Yeah.
It's support. So I love that.
That's what I was going to say. Support. Yeah.
Support is everything.
That support is amazing. I actually had an endodontist start at the practice, and I had a microscope which I bought secondhand, and I didn't have the right mountings to to set it up in practice, because my ceilings were way too high, etc., etc. I called loads of people up and I said, look, can we do this, can we do that? Yeah, but we'll have to find out for you. And then the endodontist was starting a few days later. He said, have you got the scope yet? I was like, no. And I called up Connor and I said, Connor, look, is there anything you can do? He goes, yeah. And I said, okay, fine. Do you know what? He was at the practice that evening.
Yeah.
And I phoned him about midday.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing here? And he goes, came with your scope.
Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something that probably not many people know. Is, you know, when we were doing all the PPE stuff, you know, last year, and we were doing all the stuff with the 3D printing stuff, Connor was an absolute superstar with that number one. But he personally, separate to like us doing stuff, he was behind the scenes. He was doing all sorts of stuff to help out with that. So all credit to him. That was really nice.
Well, we were the first urgent care, the second urgent care centre for hearts. Okay, and Connor found out and phoned me up straight away, and he goes, right, what do you need and how many of it?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do you mean?
He's just doing things at cost.
You're doing the loops. Not cost, he sent everything to me for nothing.
Yeah, awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, he's a friend, but at the same time, he cares. I've got a lot of respect for him, I'll be honest with you. And yes, if I'm biased, well, that's how it stayed on the podcast, fair enough. But he's a good guy.
Yeah, the thing is, it's about, once again, comes down to passion and you know, passion for any product, you know, I love it. Because it showed that belief and, you know, and where Adam is saying, you know, every time we've dealt with, you know, with Connor or any of the reps, they've been obviously, they've been amazing. You know, I really love the way they do it, but also I really love the product. I mean, those loops 7.5 times are amazing.
They're amazing.
I can't see anything else without it. You know, I literally cannot work without it. I don't Adam, how does the guys from Karolinska Institute work without it? I don't know.
They don't use brand loops. What are they going to do?
I mean, if you're the second best qualified.
And that's because it's such a good university.
They might drop next year.
I don't think it's that. I think it's such a good university, they teach you to work blindfolded. They don't need loops.
Right, I think we should call it a day, guys.
I think so.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Vish, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here with us. And
good luck with the everyday dentistry course.
Oh, thanks very much. And, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing, because honestly, there's so much knowledge amongst the four of you. It's unbelievable. So keep doing what
you're
doing.
Thank you.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah,
we've got a few interesting things to do. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for
listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later.
Cheers, bud. Thanks very much.
That's great. Cheers. Appreciate it, man.
The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, media partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.